Is this thing on? Take down that top knot, loosen that tie, close your laptop, and say goodbye to your email for the day. Let's go grab a drink and cheers. This is the Drinks After Work podcast, and I'm your host, Tiffany Callahan.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Drinks After Work podcast. This week, we've got Lance Perry, aka That LDP, with us. This is one of those episodes where our personalities just clicked and we had a blast recording. We talked about Lance's background in finance and the duality of his 9-to-5 versus his creative outlets like photography, podcasting, and yoga. We got into the behind the scenes of a lot of work that he does as a photographer, but also as a content creator, and not only capturing the image, but developing the aesthetic that he's become known for. There are so many stories that we shared, and so I can't wait for you guys to hear them. If you like this episode, don't forget to rate and review this podcast, 5 stars, obviously, and follow us on social media. For now, let's cheers.
I am a content creator first. That's exactly how I look at things. That's my entire goal, is to share stories, right? Like, what else is the point of doing this if I'm not sharing stories? And sometimes those stories don't make sense linear. If you look at my Instagram, it's like my Instagram is not linear.
No.
Like, I have photos that I will post. Like, this is, so I'm weird, right? This is what happened with me. I bulk shoot like a mofo. And I know some people are like, don't bulk shoot, don't bulk create. I'm sorry. I'm a very busy person. I have a 9-to-5.
Yeah,
I have a wife. I have a dog. I have like things I do. We're still going through yoga teacher training. It's like,
yes,
yeah. I might have overloaded myself a little bit, but you know, but yeah. In order to you know, make sure that I can give as much as I can in each of those given scenarios, I've got to be able to, when I'm in a creative mode, I just go, like, just go.
Yeah.
Like the reel I put out today, it was like
I had literally.
I'm gonna talk about that in a second too, because there's something that keeps happening with reels that is just annoying the crap out of me. But yeah, when I'm in those creative flows, like that same day that I did that reel, I did both of my most recent yoga ones as well. I did them all in one day just because, like, we had already moved the table back. So like my dining room is my wife and I's pseudo studio.
Yeah.
Like, we do the photography in here. We do the yoga videos in here. I record for the podcast in here. I do the podcast videos in here. Like, my backdrop.
Yeah.
I mean, I love how I'm going to say this, but like, they're not going to see this. But like, my backdrop, like, this is all curated specifically to be a backdrop for podcasts and videos. So it's like, when I'm in those modes and like, I've got all the gear out, it's basically like, when I set up this tripod, I have the Peak Design. Like, is it aluminum? I think it's aluminum. I think we have the aluminum one, right? Yeah, we got the one that we got the $300 one, not the $500 one. And who pays $30 for a freaking tripod? We did. like, nobody does that, but like, I think it's like $350. Like, screw it. My wife got that for me for Christmas.
And it nice. Was
like, this is more of a us gift than a me gift. I'm going to take it. But like, once that bad boy's like busted out and we've got the camera on there and everything, I'm like, screw it. What else are we taking today? So
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't understand people who don't like bulk shooting. Like, what do you mean? You know, like, so you have time to just shoot every day? Because I don't.
Well, and it's not just the time. It's the inspiration aspect of it, too. Like,
exactly.
You know, sometimes you just get in this creative mode where you're just like, I am all in. I'm in the zone. Yep. I am like, magic is coming out of my brain and into the exactly. universe right now.
Exactly.
And I just need to make sure that everyone in the world knows it. And I need to focus on creating. Today.
Exactly. And for me, it's like, once I like music. I like to have music inspires a lot of the things that I do. It was the same way when I was an athlete, same way now as a creative. So if I have a song in my head and then all of a sudden that song now has like some type of like backdrop or photo or like motion to it. Oh, it's a wrap. I'm done. This is what I'm doing. I'm the weirdo I'll put like my AirPods on and I will just like replay that back and back and back while I'm creating it till I get to that flow. So I might listen to the same song 30 times, but hey, listen, that photo is going to be dope. And I already know that. So it is what it is.
That's funny. So it's interesting that you say that you use a single song, because that would drive me crazy. I need difference. I need like a different cadence and a different beat to kind of flow as I create stuff. If I listen to the same thing over and over again, my husband does that. Once he finds a song that he likes, he will literally play it on repeat over and over and over again for a week straight. And I hear the beat come on, And I'll be like, oh my God, no, I can't. Like, I cringe. It's going to drive me crazy. I need a different sound.
Nope, not me. I'm over here like, yeah, play it again. Now, to be fair, it's usually while I'm creating said thing. So I really am only going to listen to it because I try to take as many photos as I possibly can. If I'm just doing like something for like a reel or something, and I do enjoy creating specifically for the reels, I think it's fun. I think short form content is the future. Obviously, what happened with TikTok can show you that it can blow up. So I like that short form content. So I'm going to listen to it while I'm knowing that this is going to be like the outcome. And then there's other times where I literally just make all of the scene and everything for the video. And then I'll just figure out the music to it afterwards.
Yeah.
I have so many audio saved to reels. So many of them. So I've got ideas for days. You guys don't even know what's coming your way. And I'm doing a couple of videos for the podcast tomorrow, as well as I've got like two reel ideas that I want to put into place for my own page for next week. So it's just like when it comes, I just have to roll on it. Now, while we're talking about reels, let me just quick rant.
Yes.
Why is it, right? So when I make a reel and when I'm playing it back, it shows me in my mind what it's going to do. And then when it comes out, it's like it like condenses a little bit. And I have text in mind sometimes. And I keep running into this scenario where it like just cuts off the text or just cuts off something. Like even with today's video, I'm so mad. I don't have it in me to like delete and then re-upload. I just don't have that in me. So it's just going to roll. As is, like, I don't care. I'm just gonna let it roll. I love the video. It was fun to do it. I literally was just like
the clock one, right?
Yeah, the clock one. Yeah. That last photo is one that I've even the very last photo is one that I'm thinking about posting that. Like, it's just so like that last photo is like my favorite. It's so random, but like the words. You see how it cut off my words? Why the hell are you cutting off my words, Instagram? Whose side are you on?
That photo is striking.
Isn't it though?
Yeah.
Isn't it though? And it's funny though, because like I love doing these types of videos, and I've done a couple of the ones where I show like the raw photo versus the edit, because I think people will be like, oh, photography is so easy. And it's like, I thought that I was gonna get a camera and I was just gonna be so good at it. There were times when I was like terrified of settings. Like, get the hell out of here with photography is easy. So now it's like getting into the state where I am like making the photo. Like, I am saying I wanted a clock with a reflection. So I had to go into the bathroom and wait for the freaking light to shift. So like the first time I went to go do it, it didn't work because the light hadn't quite gotten where I needed to. So then I went back in, the light had dropped a little bit, and that's how I got that reflection in the clock. I fell in love with that photo, and it was probably, it's funny because I think that was like one of the first or second photos that I had taken. Then I took the rest of the series, and I almost had like 8 photos in there, but then me and my wife, we were like, she's like, yeah, you should probably bring that down. So I dropped it down to 4. At one point it was 3, but that last photo, I'm like, damn, that photo is good.
Yeah, that's a great photo. Okay, let me ask you, do you put the text in the reels, or do you use a third party app?
Yep, I use a third party app. My photo process is I shoot everything in the Moment app because I love Moment. I love what they do, and it basically turns your camera into a real DSLR. And now it's weird. I don't really like using the native app anymore for iPhone. The main reason is like I am used to when I pull up the camera and I do certain things with it, I'm used to using certain settings and having certain things available which are not in the native app. It's not that the native app has anything wrong with it. It's just missing things that I like to be able to like see. If you ever look at and I should probably do a reel on this, like how I set up my camera screen, because everybody's is customized differently. But like I like having histogram and like what aperture I'm in. I like having these things readily available, so it's easier to manipulate. So with the Moment app, you can really like it. It could be like a DSLR for you, and it's a beautiful thing. And that's something that I really enjoy about it.
That's cool. I've honestly never tried it. I've never used that app before. I know a lot of people that do, but for me, I never really dove into it, and I never really dove into the features of it because I don't need a fancy camera, but a lot of people say great things about it. So maybe I should check it out.
I would. So this is how I start off my workflow, right? So first thing I do is I do the Moment app is where I will capture the video in. Then I will move it over to, and it depends on if I need to edit or not. If it's just a video and like I'm doing something goofy or whatever the case may be, I do it. I capture it in Moment app and then I move it over to InShot, and I pay for InShot. I think it's like $6 a month. It's so worth it because I use it like 3 times a day. So like it's worth it to me because I use it a lot. If you're not going to use it very often or you're not going to make reels a lot, don't pay for it. It's not even worth it. But right. I use it constantly. So capture in Moment, go into InShot and kind of get it the way that I want. But that's where all my transitions come from. I can add music there. I can do all of the things that I like right there inside of the app. And then if I need to actually edit, I'll use Lightroom Mobile on my phone to edit.
Yeah, that I do use. I do use Lightroom Mobile. Are you on TikTok too? Are you posting the same video?
No, I should be, but like I have not gone the TikTok route. I think we tried it for a little bit and I didn't have like when I went into TikTok, it was for the podcast, and at that point, I just didn't have a really good idea of like what short form content I wanted to use for that. Like now that I'm doing the photography, I'm like, well, I could probably just jump on there as a photographer and try to push people to the podcast, which is what all my Instagram really is. It's like, hey, I take photos. I do cool shit in my city. I think I'm pretty cool. Yeah. Come watch us. And oh, did you know I have a podcast too? Like go look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. The reason I'm asking is because a lot of people get frustrated because they do the reels in Instagram, like I do, or they do it in TikTok. They do the TikTok videos in TikTok, and then they want to repurpose it into the other platform and they can't. So they'd have to like import the video into InShot and then edit it out and whatever. Since you're already doing that, it'll be easy to repurpose the content across both platforms, basically. So yeah, that's why I was asking.
I've got everything saved. So I have one of those, you know, obviously with taking photos, I mean, the files aren't that small, depending on if you want to shoot RAW or JPEG, and I shoot both. Mm-hmm. So like I have everything is saved, videos, photos. So technically, if I really wanted to, I could start a TikTok right now and take every single reel that I have made and just repurpose it for that app. And okay. I've considered it. I've really considered it. I don't know if I'm going to or not, because for me, I like the space that I've been able to kind of carve out for myself on Instagram. But the thing is with TikTok, I know that there's a lot of entrepreneurs, do it yourself. Like the audience that I'm looking for, I know is on TikTok, but I don't use it enough to be able to like know the strategy to connect with them. But it's in the back of my mind. It's not a no for me. It's just a not now.
Yeah, no. And I mean, you're like we talked about before, you're very busy and you have a lot of things up in the air and you got a lot of stuff going on. So I don't mean to add to another thing for you to do. It was just, I was just curious because it theoretically would be very easy for you and very simple just to import it over because it's basically the same content that you could be using.
Exactly. Well, see, I had to learn I've really gotten a good vibe for the Instagram algorithm.
Yep.
And although it changes like every 5 minutes, I've gotten used to like how to do hashtags and what hashtags play well. And like, I've kind of gotten the framework of Instagram, even though it's this big ocean that we're all kind of swimming in. At least I've kind of figured out what I want and like my process for it. So to me, it would be kind of cool to learn a different process, but I kind of want to get to a certain reach and a certain place on Instagram first.
Yeah.
And then start that process, because I have heard some people say that it doesn't always like followers from one platform don't always mean that they're going to, you know, engage on another platform. And I'm more concerned about engagement and reach now that I understand how Instagram pushes your content out. I could care less about whether someone likes it. I care more about how many people saw it.
Yeah.
And how many people interacted with it. So like vanity metrics of like followers and likes, that has started to go down. Obviously it's still cool to see when I get new followers and stuff like that, but it's not as important as when I click it on the insights and I'm like, okay, how many people did it reach? How many impressions did it leave? So that just means that there's another person that the next time I post something, that person's going to see it in their feed because they spent so much time on mine. And I don't think people understand that part of it.
No, they don't. They definitely don't. Because I was literally having this conversation with someone yesterday because they were like, oh, my follower count keeps going down. I used to have 17 likes on this photo and now I only get this number of likes. I'm like, that kind of stuff doesn't matter. Have you actually dove into the insights to understand how many people you're reaching, how many people your account is reaching, like on photos that you use hashtags, Do you end up reaching more people? Yes. Okay. Then figure out what hashtags actually reached more people and use those. Yeah. And then like, yes. And it's going to require some work and it's going to require some time to dig in and really understand which hashtags are working for you and which ones aren't. But if you're willing to put in the work, you know, you can see the benefit of it and you can see higher engagement from it.
Exactly. But no, you hit on something, right?
Yeah.
Work. For whatever reason, I watch these people tell me that like they're not getting X, Y, and Z. But then when I ask them what they're doing to get X, Y, and Z, they're like doing the bare minimum. You're going to have to put in a little bit more effort in order for you to get to your goals. If you just want to post and just walk away and you're just posting just because you want to post, who cares? But if you're posting and you're saying that you want engagement and you're not doing the work to get engagement, I don't want to hear it. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I just want to hear it.
No, like, I agree with you.
Well, for me, like when I first get up, I'll go in, I'll start interacting with the pages that I like, and I comment on the things that I like. I don't just interact with things just to interact with them.
Just interact with
go,
them.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go to the people that I like, the photographers that I like, the content creators I like, the people and friends that I like. I'm going to interact with their stuff just because I want to go see it in the morning. I'll kind of chill out, get to work, blah, 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 take my first break. And I have a certain time that like I post every single day and I would have already done some interaction. I post, I'll interact again on my break. And then, but I have a lot of things that are manual. Like I have the preview app, which I use to set up my entire feed. So my feed for the next 3 weeks is already done. And it's always 3 weeks out. So yeah, I have my photos already laid out. My grid has a certain look to it. Funny, one of the guys I know from back home was like, man, like he sent me a photo one day and I was like, this doesn't look like his edit. And I actually read it. He's like, I got that Lance color in my sky. I'm like, ha ha. Yeah, like, I have a, like, you know, like I have like a style.
You have an aesthetic.
Like, yeah, I have like an aesthetic with my photos. And it's funny because like, I don't think that I have an aesthetic.
Oh, you totally do.
Until I watch other people do like edits. And then I see other people's edits like, I wouldn't do that. Oh, I wouldn't do that. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I like my vibe. I am a vibrance junkie. I think my vibrance in every photo is like 50. And people are like, why do you go so high? I'm like, well, I take my saturation down. I take my contrast down. And I just boost that vibrance up. And it's more of what I saw in the moment. Because a lot of that gets softer colors depending on the lens you're using. But it's like, again, people don't put in the work. Like, I understand how this works because I put in the freaking work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But you know what's funny is even this, like, obviously people can't see this, but the video right now is kind of sort of your aesthetic too. So
yes,
I don't know if you did some.
Is.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't know if you did something weird with your settings or whatever, but it matches.
I absolutely. The way that this is set up, I have a very big, like I have two gigantic windows in our dining room, right? And they face the front of the house. And I want to say, is this the north facing wall? I think this is north facing. And this, the light that comes in here during the day is just spectacular, right? So what I've done is, and I know this now from podcasting on Sunday, every single Sunday for so long, at this time of the day, this is where I'm going to have the most light, especially living in Texas. So what I do is like I bring these down. I bring the shades down at a certain angle facing this way, not up. So you see like how there's like these little shadows in the back? Yeah, that's from doing it down instead of doing it up. So that creates like a nice little shadow effect in the back, gives me a nice little like front light here. And if I need it to, like let's say it was still too strong, usually this light is off. So I will have a reflector that sits in this chair and bounces it back. And because I'm high on vibrance, I have the yellow with the sun and all these other colors that are very common in my photos.
Yes, yes. It's
got so your boy doesn't
look.
Play around.
Your boy doesn't.
I don't play around when it comes to the creative aesthetic. And I don't even know where this came from. Like the aesthetic wasn't intentional. It's more of like, this is what I like.
It's your vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like natural. Yeah, you're right. It's a vibe. It's just the vibe that I like to give off. But like, I'm a warm and inviting person when you talk to me. That's my personality. Yeah, I'm a fiery mother. Oh, well, I didn't go there.
But that's like,
I'm fiery. Yeah, I'm definitely a fiery soul. But I am a Virgo in earth sign. So, you know, I'm very grounded. You know?
But that means nothing to me.
Yeah, I love having the creative side and then like the yoga side.
Yeah,
I feel like I love duality. I think a lot of times people want to define themselves as being like one thing or another. I'm all about that duality.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all about like, you can be both. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And what's funny is like, I don't know, people always consider like yoga teachers and people that have that, like, that have that side of things, they're much more like calm, at peace, they're very hippie vibe and whatever, and yep. you have a little bit of that, but then you talk to you and you're like bam 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 bam, and again with your photos there's like the high contrast, the high vibrance of them, yeah. and it just brings out that other side of your personality, and it's like, keep me guessing. I'm like, who are you?
And that's the most fun thing about it, because it makes me laugh really hard, right? So like when I've done some modeling in my life, and the most recent time that I went modeling, this guy is like, here's a yellow shirt, and here's this bright color shirt, and here's this color shirt, and here's a white shirt, and here's all this stuff. And it's like, well, I wear lots of denim of yep. like various dark shades. I wear a lot of gray. I wear a ton of like dark green, more gray, dark blue. You know, like my color palette is not very extensive, but I do a good job of texturing and layers with the things that I wear. People are like, man, you have such good style. I'm like, yeah, this is the most basic. I'm the most basic.
Well, I think the thing with style, though, I think it's just the thing with artists where you understand the concept of the way things interact with each other in the world. Yeah. If you understand the interaction between things and the way that things like work well together, you can be an artist. And it's the same thing with sound. It's the same thing with paint. It's the same thing with fabrics and textures and photography. It's just understanding the way that things fit in together. So it does not surprise me at all that you have good fashion sense and are a good photographer and have that eye for things, because you understand how they match and how they work well together.
Clothing was my first love, like style, clothing. I modeled a lot when I was younger, got contracted through a big brand that I will not say because they subsequently kicked me out when I didn't show up for a couple things. So that's a whole other story in college. Yes, I did contract. I got to do all this cool stuff. And then, yeah, I just was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I didn't show up, which was not very professional. Don't do that. And then they kicked me out of every store. Like, I couldn't go into any store.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah. But yeah, so like style was like my first form of art, in my opinion. That was like the first thing that was like art to me. And then it kind of spiraled down from there. But yeah, I've always been a fan of fashion, but I've always been super like simple with my fashion choices. But I think what it is, to be completely honest, is a lot of guys just don't try at all.
No.
Like, not even like a little bit. So even with my effort into it, it's simple as it is, I am so big on textures. And my wife will tell you, I will not wear certain things together. Here's an example. I will not wear sweatpants with a flannel. I'm not going to knock anybody else who does it, but like certain textures just don't go together for me. Like the fact that I'm wearing this, like this sweatshirt that I'm wearing right now without denim, it's kind of driving me crazy, but like, I'm okay. I'm working out after this, but it's like, man, this really needs to be with denim. So it's like these little things, these like little nuances that got kind of put into me as I learned more about clothing and style have continued to kind of layer on with even how we decorate our house, like the wood tones versus the gray tones. I don't know what it is. I'm very neurotic about it too. Like, I get annoyed when it's not that way. My wife is laughing because she agrees. But I'm self-aware. This is the thing though. Like the things that are
at least you're self-aware about it.
Yeah, I'm very self-aware. Like there's certain things I'm not going to change a lot of this shit, but like I'm aware of it. You know what I mean? Like I love me some me. So like if you don't like it, that's kind of on you.
Like, no, but that's exactly why. Like and you need people in your life to call you out on that stuff, but also you need people in your life that are just going to be okay with it, because otherwise you're just not going to mesh well with those types of people.
Exactly. And and the thing is, at the end of the day, I'm all about people being themselves. I love individuality.
Yeah.
I don't want to control people. I've never been a controlling kind of person. And it's just always in the back of my mind that everybody's responsible for themselves. And that's kind of how I look at it. So if somebody decides to do something kind for you or be there for you, that was a choice. And the people who do that regularly, anybody can do something nice once, but the people who constantly show up for you, though, that pattern, that repetition, that consistency is what creates friendships. Like anybody can do one nice thing, but it's just that pattern of doing it all the time and still being true to who they are. So those are the things that are really important to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also feel like the vibe that you put out into the world will attract the same types of people and the same vibe of people. And so you need to be constantly conscious of what you're putting out there and what you're saying and how you're representing yourself. Because if you represent yourself in the negative way one time, it could attract a whole different crowd and you're just like, all of a sudden you look up and you're like, why do I hate people? And yes. And you're like, oh, that's because I've been kind of an annoying person myself. So that makes sense. Yep. Now I need to figure out how to change my mood and change my vibe and stuff like that. So,
right. You are the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with. And I've always believed in that. So yeah, the people you surround yourself with are extremely important. And I also subscribe to the notion of you set the tone for how everybody treats you. I've always believed that. That was ingrained in me as a kid. You set the tone for how people treat you. So like, you have self-respect. You go into situations like that.
Yeah,
it's going to be very apparent to other people. You know, people do like the friendly banter. I feel like this happens a lot amongst guys. They like to like rag on each other and do all this boys will be boys shit. Like it's not fun for me to make fun of another person like that. To me, is that's not rapport building. Like why should I have to put somebody down to build rapport with them? That's like the dumbest shit ever, and I would not put up with it. So a lot of people would categorize me as being mean, standoffish in certain situations, because like I'm not going to put up with it, and I'm also going to call people out. No, I'm not going to sit here and just make fun of somebody because of one character trait that you decided was humorous to you. Like, that's so stupid.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's just certain things I wouldn't do that kind of made me a little bit of an outcast in certain points. But now a lot of those people that I wouldn't make fun of or I wouldn't joke with or that I stood up for, those are my friends. Like, those are people that like have been ride or die with me for life.
Exactly. Exactly. So your vibe attracts your tribe or whatever the saying is.
Okay, cool. Sorry. So back to your questions. No. I'm ready.
My one question is, it really is the only question that I prepared for you, which is, what is your 9 to 5? You're in like finance or something like that?
So, okay. So from 9 to 5.
I did some Googling.
Look at that. Yes. So from 9, and like, this is the thing with the industry that I'm in, I work in the investment world. You literally can look me up. You can see all the licenses that I have. That's one of the benefits of the work that we do. And it's like, it's a benefit and a bad thing in the industry that I'm in. So I actually build financial plans. So like I do fund recommendations and fund evaluations, fully licensed in the investment world, like the stockbroker, investment advisor, all that stuff. And I can also, I have licenses. I've managed people. I've done training for people. I've gotten people through the licensing phase. And if anybody who has gone through becoming, Series 7 and all that, anybody who's done that can tell you it is hard as hell. And it's almost like going through a semester of college just because of how much information is in. And then it's not a standardized test. So have fun. have fun. It's not standardized. Good luck. And it is so funny when I tell people that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like I deal with people's actual finances, their personal investments, investment advising is what I actually do.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's my 9 to 5. So it is funny when I tell people that, because that's not at all what people would suspect of me.
No, because so I was researching you last night and trying to look it up, and I was like, I don't think this is the same person, but it is the same person. So I don't know.
Yeah, it does. I'm telling you right now, it throws people off. I think if you were to talk to me, you could probably tell I'm a pretty smart guy.
Yes.
But when I tell people like what I do, they're like, you really had the energy to sit through and go through all the studying? And I was terrible at most of it. I think I failed 2 out of the 4. One of them I failed twice, and I almost didn't even want to do it again. And it wasn't that I didn't understand it. It's just my study habits were crap. And then funny, oddly enough, right? So I'm going to tell this quick story.
Yeah.
So I had terrible study habits. I got the first 2 licenses, got into a new role, and things were going pretty well. And an opportunity came up to get into leadership. And I remember very vividly, like, okay, I have to get these other 2 licenses. This is going to suck. I hate studying, right? A lot of people failed like the first one. I don't know how much I can actually say, but they are tied together. You need one in order to use the other. So most people will take the easier one first, then they take the hard one, because a lot of people fail the hard one. And then one person said something to me, and I forgot exactly the way he worded it. He just made like some backhanded comment about, because he knew when I had, the other things that I failed. And he's like, well, I guess we'll see how this one goes for you. And in that moment, Tiffany, let me tell you, a whole other version of me was born. And
you're the kind of person like, well, I'll show you.
So I remember just sitting there like, oh, he messed with the wrong one. So I actually started with the harder test.
Nice.
Passed it the very first time after several of my colleagues had literally just went through it and failed. Like a bunch of the people that were going into the leadership had just failed it and were on their second and third tries. Meanwhile, I passed it the very first try. And the manager that I was associated with, he was like, yes, because he heard him too. And he sent the whole email to the whole organization
to let
people know that I had passed the test and I wasn't going to come into work that day. I wouldn't know.
But yeah, you definitely have to. Definitely have to. You got to flip that kind of stuff. Come on.
Oh, yeah. I have never studied that hard in my life. There's just something about, I am a self-driven individual. I don't really need a lot of external motivation. But what happens is, there's one thing between like somebody saying, hey, good job, I believe in you. That doesn't really do much for me. But when somebody does the reverse of like, wow, I don't think you are capable, that like challenging me like that, it doesn't always have this, but in the scenario that I was in and the way that it was able to catapult the way that certain leaders thought about me, it changed my trajectory and it changed the dynamic of my career at that organization. And I went on to do a lot of really good things before, you know, leaving, but I always have good feelings about the places that I've been because all of those corporations, they're all massive. They're really big corporations. You know, it's actually funny because this is why I started like my own podcast. It was like I got so much just free information. I went through so much amazing training at these corporations that you don't just get. You have to be in a leadership program or you have to be selected for them to have. And all these organizations have leadership programs and like things that you can do as like one-offs. I have been through like 6-month training programs that we had to present to executives at the end. I've pitched an idea to a CEO and sat across from a really, really, really rich person and got funding for something. So it's like the confidence that that gives you in the ability to have a conversation.
Yep.
That was why I was like, I'm going to hop on the microphone because I'm not the only person who has done cool shit, but I am a person who's done cool shit. So let's talk about some cool shit.
Yes.
And let me bring on some other people to do that. So yeah, that was like a lot of the reason I started the show was just because at the end of the day, I know that I have a story and I know that I can connect with people, but I'm not the only one. So how can I bring in other really cool people who have done things that I've never even done or stepped into arenas that I've never stepped into?
Yeah, I didn't know that you were in the corporate world until I started listening to your podcast. And then I heard a different side of you. And it's not that you present yourself like dumber or anything like that. It's just some of your jargon that you use when you talk on your podcast than when you do in real life and on these different social media channels. Obviously, you're presenting yourself in different ways. And you're presenting yourself as a photographer. So you have to kind of take on that persona in a sense.
Absolutely.
When you were the way that you speak on your podcast is slightly different. And so I was like, there's something corporate about him. I need to figure this out. Like, I need to dive in and see where this stems from. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing with me where I was like, I know my shit. I know what I'm talking about. I'm good at what I do. I like talking to people and I like connecting with people and networking and having these interesting dialogues from people that I might not necessarily know what they do or all about them, and they can bring a different perspective to things than I can. So why don't I start this conversation with people where I can, like, you know, have this, I hate calling it, but having this platform to,
it is.
And having a place where people can talk and listen to other intelligent people, but breaking down the walls too of not just like a third party form of like hearing people speak for speaking's sake, actually interacting and showcasing their personality while learning something too.
No, I 100% agree with you. And that's the first thing that comes to my mind too. Like when I think about what we're trying to do here, I think there's a scarcity mindset that people have. And it's like every time they hear about somebody wanting to create or wanting to do something in their same space, they act like there's not X amount of billions of people on the planet, right? Like there's an abundance of opportunity. Yeah. And I think that there's this scarcity mindset. I have the complete opposite. If somebody tells me they want to start something or do something and I'm in that same space, I'm like, how can I help you be great? Because I know that as you bring other people into your space, you just elevate. I have the like lift to rise mentality. As I'm going up, I want to lift other people up. But if you've listened to my show, like I have this thought process and this theory of kings become peasants and peasants become kings every single day. I have been the peasant and I've been the king. So knowing that, I don't treat people poorly because they're in a specific place. And I also don't put people who are above me on a pedestal. Everybody's human at the end of the day. And if I saw you outside at a bar and you were, you know, a piece of shit, that's the person that you are, regardless of what title you have. And as far as the way that I communicate, know your audience. I learned that a long time ago. If I tried to show up the way that I want to just show up every single day and every single moment, especially with the fact that I feel what I feel. If I'm annoyed or if I'm mad, that shit is right on my face. I am terrible at hiding it. So I can't just go in and just say everything that I feel and everything that I think. So I understand how to move in various rooms and how to speak to an audience. But a lot of that comes from, I literally did train for executives.
Right.
And people that if I did something stupid could literally have me fired because they're the boss's boss of my regional manager. And I'm in there training them on specific things and then coming back and training my group. So like I got put at a very young age. And now looking back, I'm like, why the hell did this woman trust me? and we were just talking about her, like this boss I had, one of the hardest bosses I've ever worked for, but she was well-connected. She was extremely intelligent and she put me into situations to succeed and fail. And whichever one happened though, she never treated me differently. It wasn't like, oh, you failed, so now I'm going to do. No, it was like, hey, I put you there. Here's the feedback. Here's what we need to do differently. You're going to another big situation. Go ahead, rise to the occasion. And I think that I've had people who have doubted me and I've had people that have instilled confidence in me. And it went from being about either pendulum, whether they care about me or they don't, either pendulum, I don't really care. It's like, what can I do in those moments to elevate myself and show up the way that I want to show up? So I stopped caring about other people's approval and started caring about how I performed. And that's when I really elevated. So yeah, people who don't know that about me, like my wife knows that I used to do these trainings. Like a lot of people do know that I have sat in some rooms that I probably had no business being in, but I was. So that's why you can tell if you listen to me in different platforms, you will definitely see that I'm always going to be articulate, but the way that I present it is going to be different based on the audience because I want to connect in that moment with the people. It's still me, 100%
me. Oh yeah.
But it is you. I know that I can't walk into like a retirement home dropping F bombs and think that these people are. And I also don't want to walk into a room with full of Gen Z because I wear skinny jeans. So like it's like you gotta go through audience. And my hair does, if it did part, it would part to the side. Like I'm sorry, like it is what it is. Like so like I know my audience and I try to meet them where they are. So it's easier to digest my content as opposed to like there are some creators who just want to force feed you their message.
Yeah.
And they don't think about how you're receiving it at all.
No, they don't. And they try to, there's also those people who try and change who they are at their core, depending on who they're talking to too.
Yes.
And that's, but that's the cool thing about you is that like you are who you are, regardless of who you're speaking to. And yes, you do adapt to your audience and you maybe, you know, use different phrases here and there. You say certain things that are different. You speak to people slightly different, but at the end of the day, it's the same person that you are when you, regardless of who you're speaking to, which is cool because you can really try, I hate this word, but you can tell that you're being authentic when you meet you, when people meet you.
I appreciate that. And also in my mind, the way that I think about it, there's also a level of respect that I'm trying to give by doing that. Like, by me, it's not even an alteration. It's like my friends used to, I can't believe I'm going to say this. So my nickname, my nickname in college was Radio, right? And there's a whole bunch of stories behind how I got that name and, you know, the big fro and looking like Cuba Gooding Jr. Like I may have played that up a little bit to get favor sometimes when things were bad. And it went from like this like negative thing, which it could have continued to be a negative thing. But if you know me, I turned it into a positive.
Oh, yeah.
And by the time I left college, my nickname was King Radio. I got into student government and I changed a lot of the things that we did. And I presented, there's events and things that I made that are now tradition. But the reason I bring that up is they used to say, like when we play beer pong and stuff, I won our fraternity's beer pong tournament 2 years in a row. And me and my best partner at the time, shout out JP. I'm going to send this to him just so he can hear this because he's like, that's my boy. We would win like 20 games, 30 games. We would win so many beer pong games. And what would happen is once I started to hit a couple shots in a row, they started being like, uh-oh, the radio's getting turned up. That's what they used to like. That used to be the joke. Is especially when we would go to other fraternity houses and play them and do tournaments against other fraternities. We would have a posse because you send your best team. When you go another, when you go to another fraternity house, you bring your two or three best teams and you sign up, and we try to run their table, and they would do the same thing to us. So like I was the A team. Like I was on the A team, and also fun fact, I was also on the C team. I was on the A team, and I also played with somebody else on the C team. But and so did Jerry. Jerry played on the B team. We cheated. but the whole thing is, it's like the radio up versus the radio down. It's still the same radio. So like there are times when I'm going to be all the way up, crazy. My wife will say I have too many drinks. All of a sudden I'm in love with people, and I'm like I'm not an angry person. That's the whole thing. I'm kind of just. I like to have fun.
Yeah.
Like there's the radio up and then the radio down. So it's just depending on the situation. It's, you know, some people are a little bit hard of hearing. I might need to turn that up a little bit so they can get the whole message.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
some
exactly.
people, I can just have it at a three, and we're just here. This is where we are. This is the conversation that we're having. So yeah, it's just, it's all about knowing your audience.
I'm really intrigued to see what you're going to be like as a yoga teacher.
Oh yeah, a lot. It's weird how many people are like down to just do my yoga class. They haven't seen me teach anything. They're just like, yeah. And I have some bigger people in my area who are like, hey, let me know when you do. They're DMing me like, because they'll see the reels that I put up and stuff. It's like, hey, let me know when you do a class. We want to come to your class. And I'm like, what? You want to come to my yoga class that I don't even have yet?
Yes. To be invited to these classes virtually. Absolutely.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I'm going to send out a big invite for the very first one. Cause I'm thinking about doing something where like the first one, I partner with some type of charity or something here, and like, hey, it's donation. Whatever we get, we're just going to send it to a charity as part of like my first one. So I'm still like kind of going through that idea. So,
oh my God. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's where I am in my life. It's, I think it's probably funny for your audience. They're like, who the hell is this guy? And why did she bring him on?
No, because I brought you on because you have an awesome personality and we just clicked. The first time that we spoke, I was like, this guy is going to be part of my life forever because of his personality is just going to be so, it's this magnetic personality that you have. It really is.
It was instant for us though. It was. It was definitely instant. And I can't say that for everybody that I've met on that platform.
But no, yeah, not definitely. At all. But going back to the yoga training though, I think part of the reason why people are so excited for you to do it is because of the way that you present yourself and the way that you come across. I know that you're not going to be the standard yoga teacher. The way that you come across it, you're going to have the craziest, most awesome music, and the class is just going to be, I'm imagining walking out of one of your yoga classes the way that I walk out of like a Soul Cycle class right now. Yep. You know, I feel something. I feel a different way. And that's, I honestly hate yoga, to be totally honest with you.
A lot of people do. Yeah, you're not the only one.
But I'm excited to take one of your yoga classes.
I appreciate that. I really do. And it's funny because while we were going through training, it the thing that I was really good at was the theme. There's like thematic and there's counts and there's all these things. Yoga teacher training is hard as hell. Like, why did I do this? But like, there's thematic ways of going about it. And that's where I lean heavy on the thematic. So where I've had to work on is the cueing and like certain things. But even when I just do the thematic, people would be like, oh, I love when we were doing like group teaching, people would get excited when they were in our rooms. And that to me was really rewarding because it's like, okay, people know that I'm going to create space for them. And it's not just about me. It's about all of us. Like
it's about the way you make people feel.
Yeah, you got to make people feel good, because if you make people feel good, you're going to get the best out of them. And like, that's what we're doing for this whole season: multipliers versus diminishers.
Yes,
like,
yes.
It is such a, like, people don't think about things in sense of like, who's a multiplier and who's a diminisher in your life. And I want to be a multiplier. Like, I want people to walk away from me feeling like they're better than when they first walked into a situation. So yeah, it's going to be heavy thematic. It's going to be very encouraging. I want people to come and feel really strong and impactful. And one thing I will not do, I'm not going to do like the namastes and all this stuff. After like learning more and more about it and the appropriation, like there's certain terms that I'm just not going to use because it's not authentic. And I would much rather hold space in an authentic way that is more about you, the person doing the class, than about me feeling like I'm so holy because I just taught you. Like that kind of stuff just doesn't resonate with me. The teachers that I've liked the most have been like really real. And people are like, if you want more of a challenge, try this. I'm not going to say that. To me, that's condescending. Hey, if you want an alteration, maybe you can do this. Yeah, I'm not going to say, oh, if you want more of a challenge or you want to feel more of it, you should do that. Like, no, because why are you, like, somebody might not be able to do it in their body. It might have nothing to do with them being challenged or not. They physically can't do it. So you just made them feel bad in the middle of your class because you weren't thinking. Like, a lot of people don't do enough thinking. So I'm going to be like, hey, here's an alteration or here's a variation that you can use, and or whether it's up or down.
Yeah, or it might be someone's first class, for example. Exactly. And, like, they aren't capable of doing that yet. So the other thing is almost on the other side where they say, oh, this is, if you're not able to do this, then do this version instead. I'm that person because I don't do yoga. And so when I do a yoga class, I'm usually looking at the B version of things. And I'm always like, well, that's, you know, okay, fine. I'll do it the second way. But I still feel like I'm doing a downgraded version of it because of the way that it was presented to me.
Because you said exactly, again, is that creating the space and the setting the tone? My goal is to be very intentional and knowing that that's my mindset. I know I'm going to do it. So it's very inviting. I want them to feel like they can be who they are in their body because my yoga, I'm a pretty strong dude. And I also have pinched nerves in my back and stuff from wrestling. So there are things that I just can't do. Like, I can't bend my knees. I tore my meniscus. There's certain things I literally can't do. It's not that I'm not trying. So, like, if you say something that to me in a class, I'm not coming back to your class. Like, I'm not coming back.
Every single time you speak, I learn with more things. You wrestled?
Yeah, I wrestled. I wrestled from like 7 until I tore my meniscus when I was like 16. I was a varsity wrestler by the time I was 14 years old. And was just getting beat up all the time. Yeah, by like 18 and 17 year olds who were just kicking my ass all the time. I tell people, like, yeah, I'm pretty good in a street fight, like really good in a street fight, because you can't really get to me. So good luck. I'm really squirrely. My nickname in middle school and like in tournaments, though, they used to call me the Wildcat. Because it's only because of one time, like literally one match, I was wrestling somebody and like, I got away from the guy. So like, I was down, I got away, I got the point, and I was still down by like 2 points. And you're not supposed to do this in wrestling, but I did it. I like ran at him and like charged him. And like, I don't think he knew what to do. And like, I'm not the strongest. Like, but when you're in middle school, you're kind of like the same weights. Once you get into like high school and like varsity, a lot of people will like cut like 20 pounds to wrestle you, even though they're big. They cut all this weight to wrestle you. So you're just getting thrown around because it's all muscle. All they lost was the fat and water. Now they're just kicking your ass. But when you're younger, we're all kind of at the same thing. I literally like hooked this guy, like did this weird twist and threw him down to the ground, got the points, and then like got on top of him and like didn't let him, and I won the match. But it was just funny. So they all started calling me Wildcat after that.
At least you have cool nicknames.
They're all from weird shit that I've done. They're all weird shit.
Yeah, but like they could be weird nicknames, but like Wildcat is cool, Radio is cool. Like they're cool nicknames at least.
I had to make them cool. They were supposed to be insults, but I'm a hard person to insult because I don't really care what most people think about me, good or bad. I'm still going to be me. So it's like, you can make fun of me all you want. It's not resonating. I think people get bored. I think people try to make fun of me, and then they, even in college, like, people realize that it really wasn't doing anything.
Yeah. So
especially being in a fraternity. That's what I told you, like what we talked about earlier. Like, that's what guys like to do. They like to rag on each other and make fun of each other, like build rapport. I'm an only child, so I didn't grow up making fun of somebody for fun, and I don't find it fun.
Well, yeah, because even though these guys but you don't understand like the background of someone's innate nature too. You don't know what word could cause someone to trigger some way. And even though these boys, you know, put on this masculine persona of, oh, nothing bothers me, they have feelings too. They could, they could end up, you know, totally crushing them and them being like, you know, in a funk and in a horrible mood for the rest of the day because of the way that you treated them. Like the one little thing is said wrong and they might brush it off like nothing happened, but they will remember that for the rest of their life.
Exactly. And like, I'll be honest with you. There have been things that, because I have had really mean spurts in my life when I've just kind of wanted to just get people away from me. And I know how to do it. If I want to be that person, I could be that person. And nobody wants that. The people in my life who have seen that version of me, That is not a good version. Take this positive energy, multiply it by 10 and put it in the other direction. It is scary. And I know it's scary. I scare myself sometimes. And I feel bad about some of the mean things that I've said to people. And I don't know if they're over it, if it still resonates with them. But that's what I keep in the back of my mind. And some of the really mean things that I've done or hurt people, I'm still mad at myself for those things.
Yeah.
So purposely hurting somebody just doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand how that makes you feel like you did anything. All you did was bring somebody down. Like, what does that bring to the world? It's so stupid.
I agree. I was just listening to the episode of your podcast, the first one of this season, the part where you're talking about the team player and the person that attracts everyone to them.
Yeah.
You are that person. And I know that's
talent
that
magnet.
You said, yeah, talent magnet. That's the one. I know that you said that that was your favorite one, but you don't necessarily align to that. But for me, looking at it from an outsider's perspective, that is you 100%, because you are just one of those people that people want to gravitate towards and people want to associate themselves with. And you kind of create this community around you. And the people that you, back to the thing that we were saying earlier, the people that you associate with are other people also want to associate with. And therefore kind of creating these layers of positivity around themselves. So like if I see someone and I'm like, oh, your friend's with Lance, all right, then I know that you're cool and I know that I'm gonna like you because Lance likes you, and he would not let people into his inner circle if they weren't cool people.
I first off, thank you so much for that compliment, and that's a lot of the reason why you and I have connected and continued to chat. You give off that same vibe. You're very positive. You want to keep that positive mentality, so that's why we get along so well.
Yeah.
But you are 100% correct. And I was in a room last night, and I tell people, like, I curate everything about my life. Like, I curate my feed. I curate who shows up. I curate who I follow, and especially my friend group. I am very cognizant of all these things, and I haven't always been. It hasn't always been my mentality and my thought process, but I look at mistakes that I've made, situations that I put people in, and now I realize that I have more control than I think, than I was aware of. Like, I did not realize how many people in my life were literally looking at me like, you're the leader. And like, I'm just doing shit. Like, if I have an idea, I'm just gonna roll with it. I didn't realize until like my friends really put me out, like, hey, listen, like, we're riding this ship. So like, what are we doing? And I started to realize
that
people are looking to me to be the person, even when I'm not in charge. For whatever reason, I end up in charge. But that's a responsibility that I like having, because I know that I'm going to think about things that other people don't think about. Like, even that little thing, like I have friends that are like, man, you haven't invited me to this, or you haven't, I'm just not going to put you in that situation. You're the friend I'm going to go drink with by myself. You're not the friend that I'm going to come and have be around XYZ people. And it's not that I'm embarrassed of any of these people. It's just that I understand where it's going to go at a certain extent. I know when I drink a lot, I'm just going to get lovey-dovey, and like, I might cry and like talk about how much I love people. Like, that's what I do when I get drunk, right? Like, I'm not going to hurt anybody. Like, that's just my personality when I drink. Like, I'm all about like, let's love each other. Let's play some games. Let's have some fun. I know there are some people who get a little handsy, and I'm sorry. I'm not going to have you around people. Like, it's like, I won't kick somebody immediately out of my life for situational things. Like, I don't believe that you are your best or your worst moment. But I do believe that I have friends and other people that are trusting me to create a space, because that's what they've seen of me. And I'm going to uphold that. And if I have to hurt somebody's feelings if I have to hurt one person's feelings to make 20 people feel good, I'm going to do that. I'm sorry. Yeah. Even if I have to hurt one person's feelings to make one other person feel good, I'm sorry. Like it just is what it is. And it's because it's coming from the right place. So I appreciate you saying that, because I have put a lot of intention into the relationships that I build and the way that I talk to people. It's so funny when people come onto the show, I sit like in, cause we've been in rooms together where they're like, I don't script my interviews, and I just do this, and I just do that. I'm like, well, everybody that I have on my show, they're all business owners, they're all entrepreneurs, they're all creatives. They don't do this. So hell yeah, I'm going to send them notes. I'm going to send them all this. Like, I'm going to send them all these things, because every single one of them at the end has said, man, I am so happy that you gave this to me.
Yes.
And like, I felt so comfortable coming on. And like, when I've gone on podcasts, don't send me show. I don't want show notes. I know. This is what I do. Let me get on the microphone. This is what I do. Don't send me no damn show notes. I don't want show notes. Ask me the damn question and let's roll. Like, this is what
exactly.
I do.
Exactly. Like,
I understand my comfort level, and I talk to the people that are going to come and be in my circle to understand their comfort level. And I set them up And a lot of the times, I'm not gonna lie to you, we don't ask, I don't even ask all the questions, but they know where we're going. They know exactly where we're going. They know where they fit into everything. And it's so funny when they'll like apologize when they start talking about something else. I'm like, nah, go ahead. No, yeah. We're good. I'm keeping track of time. I know exactly where we are. I'm in complete control of the situation. And I want you to show up the best. And the best way to have people show up like their authentic selves is to create the damn space for them. Like, just create the damn space. People make it so hard. Be intentional.
I also think that it's the way that your show is structured too, which I appreciate, because you know what you're getting yourself into and you know what to expect from it.
Yep. Every single episode is very consistent. Although the responses are going to be different and all that's going to be different, I've realized that people are enjoying, they know what our show is.
Yeah.
And I had a girl say, we are the break from the noise for her. That was a comment that she left and she messaged me. She's like, you guys are a break from the noise. She'd be like, I know when I listen to your show, I'm going to get some really cool advice. I might learn something. I might know a new place to eat. Like, I might walk away with a book to read. I'm going to walk away with something, but I know exactly what to expect when I listen to you. And I can feel like I'm unplugging when I listen to you. And she's like, I appreciate that. And that's what I was trying to create.
Yeah. I will say something, and this is going to be really funny for you. I listen to podcasts on 2x speed. That's just how I listen to things. I can't. You're one of the only people. Literally, you are one of the only people that I cannot listen to on 2x speed.
Don't do it. I'm nasally as hell. Don't do it. You're not going to be able to hear anything I'm saying.
It's not even the fact that you're nasally or anything like that. It's just you talk too fast, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, yeah, I talk too fast. I'm never going to be able to listen to this episode on 2x speed at all.
Us going back and forth? Yeah, absolutely not. It's not going to work.
It's going to be crazy. But it was hysterical because I was trying to listen to it yesterday. And I think that I had listened to it on 2x speed just to process things more quickly. And I was trying to listen to it yesterday faster because I was like, I just need to prepare a couple more things. And like, I just don't have enough time to listen to more episodes.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, he's making too many good points and he's talking too fast and I can't listen to him and I'm missing things. And I'm like, damn it, I actually need to slow down.
That makes me happy because I listen to things at 1.5 to 2 myself. Like even when I would like grade calls and stuff for like associates, that's the same thing. I'm listening to things like really fast because I can process things really quickly. Yep. And I like to multitask. So like for me, I can do that and comprehend everything and then be able to spit it back out. Yeah, I would not listen to me at 2x speed because I talk. I like naturally talk at 2x speed.
Yeah.
So that, and again, I'm nasally and I know that because when I tried out for the radio show, the first comment he was, it seems like you've done this before. That was the training. And you really, do you have an allergy? He's like, are you having allergies right now? I'm like, no, this is my voice. Thank you, though.
Oh my God. Okay. Because I'm cognizant of time and I want to get to two more things. I want to do a quick game with you at the end, but I want to get to your photography stuff and the background on how the hell you started doing this. Like, was it because you talked about the fact that you were into fashion at first and you do finance and the complete opposite side of the brain from your 9 to 5? Where did the photography stuff come from? And was it, like, I think you said your wife is a photographer too. Is it?
Yeah. We're kind of like a little duo. So I would say she probably was into photography a little bit more than I was initially. Mm-hmm. So what happened was we started dabbling really a lot when the whole pandemic hit. We weren't doing it. I was taking photos of food and sometimes I'll take pictures of things. And I've always liked taking photos, but it's always just been with my phone. I think I had some type of Canon power shot or whatever the hell that little Canon thing is, like a running gun little Canon camera that I had for a while that I would take photos with. But it wasn't until the pandemic hit and I wanted to make a statement with everything that had been going on in the atmosphere. And I realized that for me, the way that I operate, I'm not going to do certain things. I'm going to express myself through art. So I just had this concept in my mind of this picture and I just couldn't stop thinking about it for like 3 weeks. Like I couldn't stop thinking about it. So then I drew it and then we actually made it happen. And I was like, okay, I can do this the easy way. Or I can do this the hard way. So I decided to do it the hard way. So the photo is,
I was like, okay, yeah, I know, obviously.
I did it the hard way.
I'm gonna do it the hard way.
So it was a picture of me holding a hat with love and hate on my
I saw that picture. Yeah, oh my God, it was awesome.
Yeah. So we did that picture, and the way that I did it was we got the newspaper and we just cut out letters from different headlines. So we got different fonts and from different parts of the newspaper. We cut those out. We got the letters. And then I actually put like runners, like tape on my fingers. And then we used double-sided tape to put the letters on each finger. And then we went outside. We tried to find the right backdrop for it. And we took the photo. And what I realized, though, and what started to make a time crunch is because of, I think it was like June or July, and the letters weren't going to stay on very long. So we did not have, I did not think about the backdrop. I only had the image of me holding it in the letters. I had no idea the backdrop. So we tried it against brick, and then we were trying it in the backyard and all these different places. So luckily we got the right shot, and it was exactly what I had in my mind, except for the background in and of itself, but it ended up being perfect. But that took us about 35 minutes to an hour to just to get it prepped up. And we only took 6-7 shots total. It was just one of those moments where I was like, wow, I can really create this. So here, I just posted it, right? Didn't think anything of it. And I tagged, I've always been pretty cognizant of who I tag. And I ended up tagging one of the magazines, the bigger magazine in Fort Worth. Thought nothing of it. 2 weeks went by. And this was the first time this happened to me. It's happened to me since, now that my page has gotten a little bit bigger and more people are reaching out to me to work with me. I got a message from them like, hey, would it be okay if we use your photo in our best of feature for July? And I was like, there's no way in hell that this is real. This cannot be real. And then one of the girls I work with, she's like, oh, I know her. She does work there. That's legit. And I reached back out. Next thing you know, our picture was in Fort Worth Magazine and we got featured. We still have a copy of it.
That's a really big deal.
Yeah. So, and that basically was the kickstart of, wow, I really have some talent. And then I just started investing. I got my XA7, which people make fun of this camera, but I love this camera. It's also my web camera, but this is what I use as like my main shooting camera before I got like my professional, like my XT3. But it's like, it just took me down this path. And I just had Sam on my show. That's her name. I just had her on my show. We just recorded it. It won't be out for like a month or so. But I just had to remind her of like, you kind of kickstarted a lot of this. Because I was already doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And then I had another creative outlet. So it's just crazy how one thing led to another. But it all started with an idea. And now, as you see, I have 1,000 of them a day now.
Yeah, and you have to reserve them all for one time when you can have the right music in the background.
To play it 4 or 5 times in a row, just so I really understand the vibe that I want to set. But yeah, it just all stemmed from one idea. And I think it was just the validation of that moment of like, yeah, you're pretty good at this. Like,
yeah,
you're actually really good at this. And now I have more and more people complimenting me on it. And it's just funny that it all started by just a small idea.
I love that. I was just looking at the photo again, just to like remind myself of how striking it is, because that's a thing that I like about your photography too. It's, you look at it once and yeah, that's a nice photo, but then you look at it again and again and again, and you get something different out of it every single time. And just the way that the way that you play with the lighting, the way that you play with the, subject of the photo, whatever the subject actually is, in like the case of the reel that you did today, it was a clock.
Yeah, how crazy is that? The clock.
Yeah.
And I've had a bunch of DMs like that last. I've had people literally message me like, dude, that last picture.
Yeah.
Like, that last clock is dope. It was really freaking dope.
Yeah, and it's so cool because it the way that you said it, it stems from like just one idea of something where you're like, that would be really, really cool. Let me see how I can create that, which is it's so fun that that's what. Because other people that I've talked to actually go about it the opposite way, where they have a pseudo concept, but it's not really fully baked. And they'll just go out and they'll be like, okay, let me see what I can create, versus you go with the end thought in mind. And then you come back at it with, how can I create that vision that I have in my head? So it's so cool to hear that that's your process.
Well, I do. So I want to be fair. So there are times where I'll just be like, hey, I'm going to take my camera and go shooting downtown.
Yeah.
But like, But every photographer should do that. Like, when people are like, you're so good at photography, I'm like, no, I just take a shit ton of pictures. Like, I have taken a shit ton of pictures. I wasn't just like, oh, I took this one really cool picture that ended up in a magazine. Now I'm great. No, I went back to the drawing board and started taking pictures all the damn time. but yeah, I will also go out and like just take photos and have fun. And that's more for me. This is the thing where I think is a little bit different from the other photographers I've talked to. I go out into the city and just take photos. That's more for me to practice my settings and understanding where my settings are. Not so much for me to like create the end result. I'm just trying to figure out where my settings are. And it's more fun for me to be able to like understand the camera more. But when I have an idea, that's when we're like, it's the end result that's in mind. And I know that that's a little bit different than some of the photographers I talk to.
It's interesting because you're playing around with settings as opposed to just, I don't know. I don't know which way I like better. I don't know what, not it's like, hard. I don't know which way I associate myself better with.
Well, I see you make a lot of reels too, and you do a lot of creative stuff too. So I'm assuming that you must have, are you just taking the general idea that you have and then throwing it out there? Or are you going into it with more of a, let's just see what happens mentality? I don't know, but I like the reels that you put out.
Thank you. You know, what's funny is back to that whole creative outlet and having to be in a mood. I need to do that where I need to kind of harness the creative energy that I have. Otherwise, like for the past couple of weeks, actually, I've been in like a creative slump, especially with Instagram, just because like, I don't know why, I just haven't been in that mood to create things. So I feel like I need to, versus like 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, probably. And again, I talk about it as if it's been this like extended long slump. It really hasn't been. It's been a couple of days, a week max. But for me, that's a long time not to feel creative. And so like a week and a half ago, I was churning out reels left and right. No problem. Yeah. Yeah, I was creating posts like all the time. And it's just because I had that like creative energy flowing through me. And the past week or so, it's been like dull. But I think it's a mixture of both, like you said, where sometimes I have an end result and I'm like, okay, I need to recreate this idea. I need to like see how I can make this thought happen. Whereas other times I'm just like, yeah, let's just kind of figure it out as I go. And I'm just like, whatever the end result is, it'll be cool to see what it's going to be like.
It's all about what flows well for you in the moment. Like that's kind of how I operate. I appreciate that. And I think I do think that there's a thought process of being super intentional. And then there's a thought process of sometimes magic just happens because you set yourself up to just be in the moment.
Okay. All right. I'm going to ask you the last question of, is there anything else that we want to talk about? You want to get to? Do you want to plug your podcast a little more and get people excited about it? Or is there something else that you want to talk about before we play the game?
No, it's probably you podcast, Everyday Experience Podcast. I tell you what I think. And I have an amazing co-host, my boy, We Ride or Die. He also does all the editing for it. I am a creative and I bring creatives and entrepreneurs and just all around cool ass people into my space to share their perspective as well. My podcast is themed. So there's usually going to be an underlying message for the entire podcast. This season is multipliers and diminishers and how they show up in everyday life. So there you go. Boom. There's the plug.
I love it. And where did the name come from? That's the other thing I wanted to ask you.
It was a test. So of course I didn't just launch a podcast. I had to get all the equipment. And then we did like these little test runs of the show multiple times. And it was either just something that I said while we were talking to somebody. And I was just like, listen, if you hear me talking about this thing that happened and it was you, I'm sorry. If you feel guilty, then it's probably you. It's not my fault that it was you. I'm not going to name drop you, but like, and it was just the premise of the show. It's like, I know on this show, we're going to talk about things that are going to be like, we don't talk about politics, no religion and all that. But we talk about how there are some shitty people out there.
Yeah.
We talk about how to like seek perspective and we'll share story. I've shared stories about how I failed at things and how other people have failed at things. So it's like, there are times when we're talking about something and it's probably a real person that did this. So if you did this to me and you hear me talking about it, that shit's probably you. So yeah, deal with it.
If you're the drunk friend that you realize all of a sudden, hey, you're right. I don't go out with Lance in social settings and I don't go out with him and hang out with him when he's in other people.
Well, the group. Yeah. If you don't get invited to brunch and you have a tendency to be handsy, you probably know who you are and why I don't invite you to brunch. Like, it's probably you. And like, I don't feel bad. Like, that's a fact. If you don't like that, you can ask me questions about it, but has nothing to do with me. It's about you.
So that's probably you.
That's why it probably you was born. It's really more so about like, people need to take accountability. That's like the framework of it is like, everybody's story matters. So it's not just if you feel guilty. Like, if you feel like you're the next best thing, then it probably is you. If you feel like you could be better in a certain area, it's probably you. If you feel like you're looking for somebody to save you, guess what? It's probably you. So that's kind of where it came from.
The one thing I like about it too is so this season you're talking about Multipliers and Diminishers, which is based off of a book, which is a great book, by the way.
Amazing book.
The good thing about it is you don't actually need to read the book to listen to your podcast and to be involved with it, because you give all the context in this episodes, which I love.
Yeah, we get full context, but you're right. Like, we lay it all out. We try to set it up so that you don't have to do anything other than just listen to what we're talking about. But we have had people reach out and say that they did pick it up, or they want to look into it and ask some questions about it, which is exactly what I want. I want more people to connect with.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I love your podcast. Your show is one of the ones that I agree with you. It's good banter. It's good flow. It's cool conversations. And whether you're talking about shorts at a wedding or you're getting really in depth into into like stuff about Fort Worth, and I'm like, I've never been there, but I feel like I have. Someone asked me the other day, where have you been to? Like, what states have you traveled to? Especially because we're talking about road trips anyway. And I was like, have I been to Texas? I've been to Texas. Have I been to Fort Worth? I think I have. No, I actually haven't been, but I know a lot about it and I can tell you about it.
And that's the right feeling to have. And it's funny because that's exactly what I want people to do. And, you know, a lot of people have been like, you can broaden it out and talk more about it. I'm like, well, we do have broader discussions.
Yeah.
But when I'm drinking a beer, it's from here. Because just like when I go back home in Buffalo, I'm drinking beer from Buffalo. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going to get some beer. Like, when I go places, I drink the beer that's there. I support the locals that are there. So it's who I am and it's who I've always been. But now I have a platform and I'm encouraging other people to do the same thing. Like, when you step into a city, there's apps that you can find the local brewery. You like beer? Go get the beer from the local spot. Go support the local people. So yeah, I do. Yeah. And who the hell wears shorts to a wedding? That's a whole other story.
I totally agree.
That pissed me off
so much. I totally agree.
Oh, that pissed me off. I laid it firmly out on the show. Do not wear jeans and do not wear shorts to a wedding. It's
not okay. Oh my God. Okay. I'm going to dive into like three or four questions. And then, but before I do that, tell people where they can find you, because we didn't actually get to that part.
Oh yeah, we didn't. Okay. So I am at, let's do mine first. So LDP, it's @that_LDP. Super easy. @that_LDP. And then for the podcast, it's @its_probably_U. And the website is just www.itsprobablyyou.com, all spelled out.
And the podcast is on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, wherever you're listening to this podcast. Listen to their podcast, because if you like this content, I guarantee you will like their content.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The kindred spirits over here.
Yes, exactly. By the way, why have you decided to associate yourself? Is it because you wanted to be a different, like, your creative persona is LDP?
Oh, no. Literally, I auditioned for that radio show, and that's what I went with when I auditioned for the radio show. So when we first started, I just used that, and then I just never stopped using it. So it was more of like, I just did it. And then I was like, once I started using it, I kind of liked it. And then once I knew that that was what I was going to use, I had to change all my handles so that it was all succinct. Because in the magazine, when they told me they were going to be putting us in the magazine, I had to, like, whatever I use is what they're going to have forever. That's what they're going to associate with me forever. And so I changed the handle so that it was all succinct. And then I started using that and leaning more into that in the show, because we got a lot of traction from the magazine feature. So that's why I kind of kept it that way.
Awesome. All right. Well, I like it. It fits you. So.
Yeah, I think so too. I like acronyms. You know, I work in corporate America. We have like a thousand of them.
Yes. I'm glad that it's not just like a Verizon thing. It's just a corporate America thing.
Because it's all over the place. Anywhere you work, you are going to get acronyms up the ass. They just love them. And then they like to act like the ones that they created are like very unique. And it's like, I heard this 5 years ago. Thank you though. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. It's random questions / like this or that / would you rather. I'm just going to throw random stuff out at you and you're just going to answer. All right, cool. Pop or indie?
Ooh, indie.
That surprises me about you. I don't know.
I have dabbled in guitar and have been a part of a band at one point in my life. Yep.
All right. That does not, the band thing does not surprise me about you.
Lead singer, terrible singer.
Horror or comedy?
Ooh, let's go comedy. I'd be more likely to lean into comedy. I do like horror, but I would be more likely to lean into comedy.
I was going to ask beer or wine, but actually I just want to ask you what kind of drinks you lean towards, because you have posted some interesting drinks.
Yes.
So what's your favorite time of alcoholic beverage?
This might surprise people. So if I walk into a bar, I am more likely to go with a cocktail than a beer, even though a lot of people see me drinking beer and I love beer. I love craft beer. I love a French 75. French 75 is going to be my drink of choice. So a French 75 is gin, simple syrup, lime, topped with Prosecco.
Simple syrup, lime, and Prosecco.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Very much so.
I'm going to have to try that.
It is very strong. I would not recommend having more than three. Yeah.
Okay.
I would not
recommend more than three.
I mean, if you want to be able to function for the rest of the day, I would say don't have more than three.
See, I'm not normally a gin drinker. If I'm going to have hard alcohol, it's probably going to be tequila. Me too. I don't dislike gin. So that might
It disappears though. That's the issue with the French 75. Because of the lime juice and the simple syrup, it offsets that bitter and like earthy tone of the gin. So now those are neutralized. So what you feel like you're drinking is just like a Prosecco, like a sweet Prosecco.
Yeah.
And I like the dry, like I want a drier Prosecco when I make this drink because of the simple syrup. So it's like the lime cancels out the gin, and then you have like a sweet Prosecco type of a taste, and you really don't taste the gin, and it's dangerous, and I love it.
My husband will probably really like that drink because he tends to lean towards that kind of those
tell him a French
flavors.
75. He might already have had a French 75 before. It's one of my favorite drinks.
All right. I'm definitely gonna try that out next time. And I wonder if it's like a common name though, or if I'm gonna have to explain it to them, which is
no, it's a French 75. Some people will call it a French 78 or something like that, but it's all the same drink. It's just a difference between whether you use elderflower or if you just use simple syrup.
Okay. All right. Good to know. I will try it out this weekend and I will let you know.
I'll
report
awesome.
Back. All right. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Oh, okay. So this is going to be random, but I would like to like be able to like move the ground. Like I would want like my power, what I would want my power to be is I'd want to be able to like step onto any like surface and like I'm talking like the physical ground, no matter where I stand, I can like move it up and like earth bending. Like from like the Avatar, I would like to have the power to like bend and move Earth, because in my thought process, I thought about this before, in my thought process, depending on the type of like Earth in the ground in the sediment, I might be able to like create explosives, like do all types of cool stuff. So like I've already thought about if I was a superhero, how this would go. And like everybody wants to fly. No, screw that. I want to be an earthbender because I feel like I could do some really cool stuff with it. And then I can make the determination of like, do I want to be a hero or a villain? You know, I want that. I want to be able to have that. I want to be able to have that in my life where I'm like, what do I want? What path do I want to take?
Okay. Separate, totally different. Track, what is the silliest fear you have?
Ooh, silliest fear I have. Let me think. It's not necessarily a fear, but like I would say ghost. I would call it a silly fear, but it's like I've had
so you
weird
believe
things
in
happen. Oh, 100%. 100% believe in ghosts. Yep, 100%. So yeah, I would say that's like my silly fear, like the fear that I'm cognizant of is I believe in ghosts for sure.
Okay. All right. Why, you said you have a story associated with that or no?
Oh, I have multiple, but like those are going to take us too long. Nope. Well, you can always.
I will save that for another part.
I will always come back. But yeah, I've got some weird things that have happened to me. And the cool thing is, my wife was there, so like I have.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I have somebody who can attest to the weird shit that's happened to us.
Okay, what is the quickest way to boost your mood if you're in a funk sometimes?
Okay, so there's two things that I can think of. If I need to get like a nice shot of dopamine, it's either I need to do like a meditation. It depends whether I need to go up or down, right? So if I need to bring myself down, I'll do like even if it's like just like a 2 minute meditation, that usually will do the drill for me. But if I'm like just really like screwing, I'm like, let me crack open a beer and go sit outside. Like literally, like I will just crack open a beer, let me sit outside, let me be by myself and just kind of think through what I'm going through. So that's the two things for me. It's either I'm going to like meditate or work out, or I'm going to crack open a beer and be a lazy piece of shit.
Nice. It's interesting that you bring that too, because sometimes people just think of mood boosters as a thing, but yeah, you're right, bringing your mood down sometimes is necessary too, because you come off a high of something like exciting and super like party party mood or something like that, like you're really really wired, and you need to like have that moment to like settle down and come down from that.
Nobody ever thinks about that. Nobody ever thinks about the down. Yeah, everybody's always thinking about like, how can I put myself into a better mood? Yoga has definitely taught me like the balance and the
you need the balance.
Yeah, you need the balance.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna need to like sit and like decompress after this, because just I mean in a good way, it's just lots of like positive.
Yeah, we've talked for way longer than I thought, but it's been awesome. This has been so fun.
All right, well I have the final question, which is, if there was a theme song that could identify your life, what would that theme song be?
Ooh,
your life or your current situation.
Oh, I think you know what though, I'm gonna just go, because the first song that came to my mind, I don't know why, is just Staying Alive from the Bee Gees. Just like, because like if you can tell by the way I use my walk, yeah absolutely. I feel like that's me right there, like boom.
Oh my god, that is so you.
Like just like the confidence and like the, but it's an awareness, but there's also that confidence there. That would be me, because it's just like no matter what, I'm gonna make this shit work. So that's song that when you asked that question, that was the first song that came to my mind. It's like Bee Gees, Staying Alive, and just like that first opening line of like, yeah that's me.
No, that's awesome. I you know, it's so crazy, because I did not expect that at all, but it fits you so perfectly.
Yep. Absolutely.
Oh my god, this has been so much fun. We talked for way, way longer. This is probably gonna be one of my longest episodes, but I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely chop out what you need to chop out. I'm not gonna be sensitive about it. This was fun. We hit on a lot of really good points. I'm good with it. I'm happy. I've had a blast.
Yeah.
You guys have a great day.
Thank you. All right. We'll catch you later. Bye.
Bye.